Mulligan's Travels. The makers of this audition record present Mulligan's Travels, starring Sheldon Leonard.
For inspiration with your transportation, travel with Mulligan.
That's right. That's Mulligan. Mulligan's Travels, the story about Milton Mulligan, taxi driver, ex-GI, scholar, and solid guy. Do you want to get from Times Square to the Bowery? Do you want the inside dope on the Dodgers? Do you want to know what's with Romeo and Juliet? Well, then, travel with...
Taxi, folks!
Mulligan!
Hop in, folks. Where to? Stuyvesant High? Okay. High school. It brings back memories. I remember when I'm a boy in high school, although before I graduate, I'm kind of old for a boy at that. My teachers are all the time bemoaning that I don't have ambition. Unless maybe I got ambition to be a juvenile delinquent. They're right that I don't have ambition on account of a hereditary trait which I have inherited from my old man by way of chromosomes. See? This you'll understand if you know the theory of genetics. You'll understand it better if you know my old man. But time passed. I went out to the world, and lo and behold, you know, I discovered some of the smartest characters that I meet turn out to be educated. Even my pal Whitey. Who's the best soldier a soldier ever buddied with. And this is something to think about. So I think about it. And then since they fixed it so that Mr. Whiskers has to pay part of the freight with this GI Bill of Rights, I enrolled myself in Metropolitan College here in New York City, New York, although I can only attend part-time because I got into business for myself and I operate this fleet of one taxi cab. And this is also how one day when I go into Mandelbaum's, which is on 46th Street, just west of Broadway, for Sinkers and Java. My mind is so full of the midterm exam in English Literature 1, which is happening the next day, that I don't hear Eloise when she says to me...
Hello, Hilton. What'll it be today?
Alas, 'tis true. I have gone here and there...
What?
...and made myself a motley to the view.
What's that?
Huh?
Milt. Mr. Mulligan, I'm speaking to you.
Oh, yeah. Hello, kitten.
Hello, yourself. And what is this you just said?
Well, I just said, last is true, I got here and there, I made myself a motley to the view, that's all.
Oh. And just how many did you have while you were going here and there?
No, look, kitten, you don't understand. That's something by Mr. William Shakespeare. I'm studying it on account of there's an examination in English Literature 1 tomorrow.
Well, that's a relief. You know, Milton... About Shakespeare, I admit I'm not very bright.
Oh, now, kitten, don't you say that. When it comes to smart brains, you've got just as many as the next person.
Yeah, but in a joint like this, the next person is always a dope. Except you.
Thanks, kitten.
I think it's wonderful the way you're determined to get an education.
Oh, it's nothing.
You're so different from most of the Jakes around here.
Yeah, I guess I am a very different kind of a Jake at that. Mm-hmm.
That's not what I said.
What?
I just said, you're different.
Uh-huh.
You are. And I think it's wonderful. Oh. And I don't usually let my hair down like that. Now, what do you have?
Hey, you know something? I think that you're wonderful, too. And don't tell me that you're not quite bright in the head, either. Just because you don't always understand that, what Mr. William Shakespeare says. Very complex Joe, this William Shakespeare, yeah. Sometimes, even I can't understand what he says. Sinkers and Java.
What?
Well, that's what I'll have, Sinkers and Java.
Oh, yeah. Of course, come right up.
And as for your brightness, look, you can take it from me, one of the first things which attracts me about you is your brains.
Mm-hmm. But not the very first.
Well, kitten, I'm not that different.
Uh-oh. Look what's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Are you good looking? How is the most gorgeous babe this side of Canarsie, huh? Hiya, Milton.
Hello, Snitch. Hiya, Fingers.
Don't disturb Milton, boys. He has an examination tomorrow, and he has to study.
Oh, excuse us for living.
What a wise guy.
Well, babe, make with the menu. Me and Fingers is as hungry as a couple of horses. What would you recommend?
Oats.
Funny girl.
No privacy here.
I will have a bologna on rye, French fries, apple pie a la mud,
yeah,
coffee, and 2 toothpicks.
Coffee. Okay, what will you have, Fingers?
A banana.
A banana?
A banana.
That's all, a banana.
That's all, a banana.
Okay, one banana coming up. I'll go peel it for you.
Gee, thank you.
What kind of meal is this, I ask?
Hey, look, can it, will you, Stitch? I'm trying to study. This examination I got to take tomorrow, it's of the utmost imperativeness.
If you wish quiet, go to the public library.
Uh-huh.
What I want to know, how is anybody going to make a meal out of a banana?
I'm going to have seconds.
Yay.
Hey, look, Stitch, instead of this yakety-yakety, would you be so kind as to assist me in my studies?
What do you want I should do?
Well, here, this is a list of quotations by Mr. William Shakespeare. If you read them to me, I will try to identify the source.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Shall I start at the top or pick them at ransom?
Well, just start anywhere at all. Don't
okay.
matter.
Who steals my purse, steals trash.
Gee, Stitch, I was going to give it back, honest. I was just practicing.
Huh? Give me that.
How did you know I took it? I was so careful.
I didn't know you took it. I was reading here on the paper. Who steals my purse steals trash.
Oh.
I hear you. See, this is something by Mr. William Shakespeare. It goes, 'tis something, nothing.
Do me this again.
Who steals my purse steals trash. 'Tis something, nothing. 'Twas mine, 'tis his.
I don't get it.
Look, don't you see, Stitch? It means it's something, except that it's nothing.
Now, this makes very good sense. If this is what they are teaching in college these days, I am happy all I ever learned is in reform school.
Stitch, maybe he means...
Shut up, Fingers. Mulligan, believe me. You can learn better sense than this by talking to Albert, who is a chimpanzee I happen to know in the zoo.
Uh-huh. Look, let's try another one, huh?
Okay. Good night. Good night. Pardon is such sweet sorrow that I shall say... Good night, Philippi Murray.
This is beautiful.
Shut up, Fingers.
It is very beautiful.
Beautiful. What do you know about beautiful?
It is the most beautiful thing I ever hear. Except maybe Father, dear Father, come home with me now.
Okay, so it's beautiful. So what does it mean?
I don't know what it means. It just sounds beautiful.
It's what this Juliet says to Romeo.
Tell us about it, Milton.
All right, I'll tell you. It seems this character, this Romeo, he meets this Juliet at a party, see? Now, right away, he gets very bad besmitten love by her.
This Romeo, he sounds like a Jake.
Now, you don't understand, Stitch. Juliet is a very luscious tomato, ain't she, Milton?
Shut up, Fingers.
Ain't she, Milton?
Yeah, very, very luscious tomato indeed, yeah.
I knew it.
See, so this Romeo, now get this, he hands her a fast pitch.
Uh-huh.
And right away, he starts schmoozling her, and she gets besmit by love also.
This Romeo's a fast worker.
Oh, yeah. Romeo, very fast worker.
Yeah.
Now, everything is hotsy-totsy except, oh, the tragedy of it. You see... He is a Montague, and she is a Capulet.
This is bad?
Yeah, that's very bad. Very bad, yeah. On account of these are the two families that have got a bad beef on, see? If there is one thing that a Capulet will not be found dead with, mind you, it's a Montague. And vice versa.
Yeah, didn't I say this Romeo is a Jake? Now he gets himself besmit with a catapult.
Look, he can't help himself, Stitch. And Juliet, she can't help herself. Now, on this particular night, she can't sleep, see? So she walks out onto the balcony.
She's sleeping in a theater?
No. No, this is a balcony in a house. In a house. Get it? It's like a back porch, only it's upstairs.
Oh, yeah.
Now, so she bemoans to the moon. She says, oh, Romeo. Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Gee.
And then old Romeo, he all leaps to wall. He comes to her. They pitched themselves some very fine wool.
Ah.
Uh-huh. And then Juliet, she says, good night, good night. Parting is such sweet sorrow that I shall say good night till it be morrow.
What does this mean?
What does this mean?
Yeah.
It means she likes to say good night.
Uh-huh.
See, but she don't like to go, so she's going to say good night, but she won't go.
And what does she do when she says this?
She goes.
Oh, fine.
Well, there she is. She's in her nightie. Perchance it's a little chilly out there on the balcony.
Not with Romeo.
If you ask me, this is all a very dumb story.
It is beautiful.
Shut up, Fingers.
Ah, Stitch, you do not have a soul.
I'll show you who has a soul.
Wait a minute. Take your hands off him.
Says who?
Says me? Who
oh,
will?
Yeah, this is for you, smart boy.
Villain, thou hast struck me for this. I'll kick thy teeth in.
Oh, brother.
Gentlemen.
Hello, Mr. Mandelbaum.
Gentlemen, please. Gentlemen, cease and desist. Gentlemen. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mr. Mandelbaum.
Gentlemen, throughout the world, believe me, strife, assaulting with battery, with mayhem. Please, not in Mandelbaum's.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Mandelbaum.
Broken dishes, soup on the floor, everything is shambles. Could somebody explain maybe what is happening?
They're discussing Shakespeare.
A discussion?
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Mandelbaum. That's the sum and substance of our alteration.
In that case, gentlemen, forgive the interruption. Please continue. It may give the joint a little class.
If this joint gets much more class, we'll run out of dishes.
I like an intellectual atmosphere.
Personally, I will settle for an earthquake.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Mandelbaum, if we make your place into a shambles. Seem to be wearing your blue plate special.
Don't look now, Milt, but I think you have also lemon meringue pie in your hair.
Oh, yeah?
Don't you boys know pie doesn't go with the blue plate dinner?
Gentlemen, may I inquire which facet of Shakespeare's genius precipitated the controversy?
Oh, it wasn't no faucet, Mr. Mandelbaum. Milton was telling about Romeo and Juliet.
Ah, yes. The tragic fruit of the clash between the Montagues and the Capulets.
I still say it is a dumb story.
Ah, Stitch, the only way you will ever have a soul is for somebody to beat your brains in good.
You know, that's right. And I'm sorry that I can't do this from now, Fingers, but I haven't finished studying for the exam tomorrow. Maybe some other time.
Okay. Only, could you maybe explain one thing first?
Well, yeah.
Why do those mountebanks hate them catapults so bad?
Why do they? Well, Fingers, this is very obvious.
Is it?
Well, sure.
Well, tell me.
It's like this. You see, the Montagues and the Capulets, they're...
Yeah?
Hey, look, I got to study. You tell them, will you, Mr. Mandelbaum? You're an educated character.
Gladly. Why do the Montagues hate the Capulets? Why does anybody hate anybody?
Why?
Lots of people hate lots of people.
Yeah.
Isn't this a scientific fact?
True.
So why shouldn't the Montagues and the Capulets, see?
Yeah. Milton.
Yeah?
Why do those mountebanks hate them catapults so bad?
Mm-hmm. You know something, Fingers? I wouldn't be surprised if it turns out that this is something that I don't know myself.
Yeah?
You know something else?
What?
Wouldn't put it past that Professor Beamish guy to ask this very question on an exam tomorrow.
Gee.
Yeah. If I don't pass this exam, it's curtains for me at the college. You know, there's just one thing which will make that Professor Beamish guy very happy. It's to have an excuse to can me good.
Don't he like you, Milton?
Well, I'll tell you, he don't think I'm a type guy which resounds credit on the college.
Oh.
Just look at me now. Potatoes and gravy. Mm-hmm. Well, sooner or later, something like this always happens with a mug like me.
Yeah.
The professor don't like it.
Milton, my boy, don't give up. You've got the will to get an education, you'll get an education.
I don't know. Afraid it's true. You can't make a silk place out of a jackass. All I know anything about is driving a hack, and there's nothing in the curriculum about that.
Milton, you are a very bright cookie. And if you were not such a dumb jerk, you would see it yourself. Ain't I right, Eloise?
Yeah, Fingers. Instead of crying in your beer, Milt, why don't you get in your cab and go see the professor? You said he offered to help any students that were in difficulty.
Yeah, but I don't think he meant me. Only help he'd like to give me is out the door.
Well, you can ask him.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, okay. Yeah, what can I lose? I'll hop in my fleet of one taxi cab right now.
Good.
And look, don't worry, Milton. Unless this professor is a very dumb cookie indeed, I do not think he will go so far as to kick you out on your curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
dear Miss Wimbley, I wonder if we did right by inviting Mrs. Oberdorf to the faculty tea. I really do. It would be an utter tragedy if she should change her mind about donating money for the new library. An utter tragedy.
She's a rather frightening woman, isn't she? So difficult to entertain.
I do wish the students would come. That might help.
Students?
Yes. I invited some of our Phi Beta Kappa students to meet Mrs. Oberdorf.
Oh.
I want her to see the caliber of our undergraduates.
Oh, that's an excellent thought. An excellent, Professor Innes.
Oh, I do hope they come soon. I know she'll be impressed. Well, I must get the plans for the new library to show Mrs. Oberdorf. You get back to her, my dear. Keep her in stimulating conversation. Keep her in cake. Keep her in tea. Remember, Metropolitan is counting on you.
Yes, Professor Beamish.
Oh, that must be the students now. Let them in, will you, my dear? I'll be right back.
All right, Professor Beamish.
Hello, I'm one of Professor Beamish's students. I'd like to...
Oh, good, good. We've been expecting you. Come in.
Huh?
Yes, come right in. I want you to meet Mrs. Oberdorf.
Oh. Hey, look, I didn't know the professor was having a party. Maybe I should come back later.
Oh, huh? No, dear, no. No, I want you to meet Mrs. Oberdorf, and please do try to impress her. It's very important to the college. Now, come along.
Well, I... Oh, sure, okay, if you say so.
Incidentally, what is your name, young man?
Milton Mulligan.
I see. Mrs. Oberdorf, I have a treat for you.
Well, Miss Wimbley, what's it this time?
It's one of our students. Mrs. Oberdorf, I'm delighted to present Mr. Milton Mulligan.
How do you do, Mr. Mulligan?
Charming, I'm sure.
Sit down, Mr. Mulligan.
Well, thanks.
Well, isn't this cozy? Do you know, Mrs. Oberdorf, Mr. Mulligan is one of our outstanding students.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that.
Oh, now don't be modest, Mr. Mulligan. There. Isn't this cozy?
Cozy, yeah.
But Mrs. Oberdorf, your cake. You don't have any cake. Now, let me get you some.
Yes, I do. I put it down in that chair.
Which chair?
The one Mr. Mulligan is sitting in.
Mulligan will continue his travels in just a moment, but first, a word from our sponsor. Ordinarily, that's what we'd say at this time, but right now, let's get back to Mulligan and see how he's making up.
Like I said, this Miss Wimbley collars me, and I'm foisted into a faculty tea where they introduce me to this fat dame by the name of Oberdorf,
which it turns out later is a money bags that the college is figuring to put the bite on for a new library. Now, I'm supposed to impress this babe with what I've learned in the college, so after I scrape the cake off my pants, I begin some very hard impressing.
So, Mrs. Oberdorf, methinks there is a great deal to be said for this pre-Chaucerian poetry, but I will not say it, because, personally, I prefer the Elizabethan period. Don't you, Mrs. Oberdorf?
No.
No.
No, nor I. We cannot dispose of the pre-Chaucerians with a shrug, Mr. Mulligan.
Well, don't get me wrong, Miss Wimpley. I don't give a shrug for them. It's just that
Well, personally, I'm simply crazy about the pre-Chaucerians. Simply crazy. Mrs. Oberdorf, aren't you crazy? About the pre-Chaucerians, I mean.
No.
Oh. Well, of course, they do have their shortcomings, of course. As a matter of fact, were you going to say something, Mrs. Oberdorf?
No.
Oh. Perhaps someone would care for more tea.
No, thank you.
Cookies?
No.
Oh.
Well, I must be going.
Oh, no, Mrs. Oberdorf, please. Mr. Mulligan, you were saying something.
Oh, yeah, sure. Look, Mrs. Oberdorf, come here a minute. Have you got any idea how many books them Elizabethan writers wrote?
No.
Oh.
Have you?
No.
Oh.
I know. Why don't we discuss Alfred Lord Tennyson?
Yeah, yeah. It's a very fine idea, Miss Wimbley. Except I'm not up to him yet.
Oh, well, perhaps we should drop literature altogether for the moment. What other subjects are you taking, Mr. Mulligan?
Music appreciation.
Well, shall we discuss music?
No.
Oh.
Hey, look, get this one here. Psychology, get this one. Psychology, it's a study of the nervous system, which is a very complex system indeed. And if the right little nerve cell should happen to get out of whack, a character would make like crazy, see? He would like his nut fall right smack on his puss.
Oh.
You know, like he was all tanked up with a snoot full.
What else are you studying, Mr. Mulligan?
Never mind. I'm afraid I must go now, Miss Wimbley.
Oh, no. Please, Mrs. Overdorf. Oh, here comes Professor Beamish, and I know he has something he wants to show you.
Well, here we are again. My, this is a jolly little gathering. Oh, hello there, Mr. Mulligan. So glad you could... Mulligan.
Hello, Professor Beamish.
What are you doing here?
I don't know.
You're not supposed to be you. I mean, you're supposed to be somebody else.
I know, but...
I mean, somebody else is supposed to be here. That is, Mulligan, you are not Phi Beta Kappa.
Well, give me time, Professor Beamish.
Mr. Mulligan, I don't know what sort of a joke this is, but I take it in a very bad light.
It's
I really do.
Is something wrong, Professor Beamish?
Oh, yes, Mrs. Oberdorf, quite. I mean, quite, that is, I'm afraid there's been a mistake.
Oh,
I didn't want to...
You mean this person is not a student of the college?
What? Oh, well, as a matter of fact, I mean, yes, I'm afraid he is temporary.
A metropolitan undergraduate.
Yes, but he's rather a special case.
Hey, look, Professor Beamish, I have no desire to louse up your tea party. If you'll be so kind as to tell me just the answer to one question, I will take myself from hence very gladly and get back to the broadcast of the Dodgers baseball game, which is on the radio in my hack.
I have no time now. Miss Wimbley, come here a moment. I'll be right back, Mrs. Oberdorf.
Yes, Beamish.
My dear Miss Wimbley, what on earth?
Mr. Mulligan.
Yeah.
Did you say you were listening to the baseball game before you came in here?
Yeah. Hey, look, Mrs. Oberdorf, maybe if I were to clarify my position as regards the pre-Chaucerian era...
What was the score?
It's 6-5. You will understand, it's not on account of I'm a deadhead, see,
whose favor?
The Dodgers. It's just, there happens to be a deepness about the Elizabethans that is very deep
indeed. What inning?
The sixth. The last half, two on, two out, Walker up. But on the other hand, you see, these pre-choice...
I'll bet he struck out.
He did not strike out.
What did he do?
I don't know. That's where I left it.
Well, then how do you know he did not strike out?
Because he is a very fine batter. He does not strike out when there is a soft touch on the mound.
Oh, anybody can strike him out if they keep it low and inside.
Who says so?
My butler.
If you will pardon my saying so, Mrs. Oberdorf, your butler is a lame-brained Jake.
He's a very fine butler.
This is beside the point.
Well, I've seen Dixie Walker myself, and I must say I was unimpressed.
Oh, unimpressed. And who are you that Dixie Walker should unimpress you?
I happen to know baseball.
Mrs. Oberdorf, you are no doubt a very fine lady. A good wife, a good mother, especially if you got any children. But you don't know beans about baseball, you see, and this goes double for your butler.
Now, see here...
And don't get your insides in an uproar, Mrs. Oberdorf.
I am
a gentleman, as it happens. I don't like to tell a dame that she's a stupid old crow just because
crow.
She is. But if there is one thing that I know what I'm talking about, Mrs. Oberdorf, it's baseball. So please, pipe down and let me tell you about the preacher series.
Mr. Mulligan, Dixie Walker is a bum.
Oh, get this dame. There's a limit to everything, and this is it. Mrs. Oberdorf, you know about as much about what you were talking about as a half-witted idiot, which
Mr.
is punch
Mulligan,
drunk.
Just
and naturally
you're
not very bright to begin with. Besides
that
which,
you know
I want
to tell you,
any dame who tries to tell me what Dixie Walker can do, what Dixie Walker can't do. Mr. Mulligan, please. Oh, dear, oh, my goodness. Mr. Mulligan, that's enough. Get out of my house. Out. Well, I see Mandelbaum got the jukebox fixed.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah. Milt?
Yeah.
Do you really think you'll be expelled?
Oh, yeah. You know, I did a very bad thing. You know, it's not only bad manners, it's also dumb to tell off a dame.
Especially if she's a money bag.
Uh-huh, you can say that again. Suppose I should have known better. She got me sore, though, and every time I get sore, I lose my temper.
Oh, now, Milton, it takes a lot to make you blow your top. I know you. And if you blew...
Oh, kid, that's no use. Guess I'm just not cut out for culture. I try to put my best foot forward, and every time I do, somebody gets kicked in the teeth. Guess I'm just a blockhead in a round hole.
I think you're wonderful.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but you like me.
Of course I do. I think it's wonderful the way you're determined to better yourself. I've been so proud of you.
Oh, yeah. I was kind of proud of myself. A mulligan in college. Oh, that's something, eh? If my mother only knew. Oh, I can see how her face would light up. She'd say, "You showed them, Milton, my son. You showed those people who called you no good."
Who called you no good, Milt?
She did.
Oh, well.
Ah, Mulligan, there you are.
Oh, Professor.
I called your home and they told me I could find you here.
Yeah, hello, Professor Beamish. Look, I...
Mulligan, about this afternoon.
Oh, I know, Professor Beamish. I'm sorry if...
It was inexcusable.
I know,
A person should never allow himself to be carried away by emotion.
Yeah, I guess you're right, only
I didn't... It was really disgraceful behavior. Disgraceful, really.
Well...
In the face of such behavior, there's really only one thing I can say.
I know, Professor Beamish.
Mulligan, will you forgive me?
Huh?
Will you forgive me for being so rude as to order you out of my home?
Come again?
Yes, do. Well, no, I mean... I don't know what I mean. But you won't resign from the college?
Won't I? No, I won't.
Oh,
I never.
Thank you, Mr. Mulligan. I'm
it's
afraid
all right.
You might. Afraid you might. Well,
no.
I'm so glad it's cleared up.
Yeah.
You see, Mrs. Oberdorf explained that you and she were merely indulging in what she insists was a friendly discussion.
Yeah, that's right. That's
I'm
right.
Terribly sorry. I didn't realize. I had no idea that friendship could reach such a proportion.
Oh, yes. Well, you see, Mrs. Oberdorf is a very proportionate woman. That is...
I understand. After all, when one is vitally interested in a subject, discussions can be stimulating and quite exciting. They really can.
Excuse me, but that's right, Professor. You should see Milton sometimes when he's discussing Shakespeare.
Miss Wimbley tells me you're surprisingly, decidedly earnest in your work.
And he has the scars to prove it.
Yeah, and right, Mrs. Right. Oberdorf has taken quite a fancy to you, my boy. She really has. Says you speak her language. And there's nothing she enjoys more than a good argument.
Hey, you know something? She's a pretty good old crow at that, huh?
Quite. I'm to go over to her home next week to discuss the new library plans further. And she insisted I bring you along.
Yeah?
That's nice, Milton.
So I thought I'd better come right down and clear up our little misunderstanding.
Oh, that, yeah. Well, we can consider it cleared.
Fine.
It's all right, Professor.
And now, my boy, what was it you wanted to see me about this afternoon?
This afternoon? Yeah, I wanted to know something about the Montagues and the Capulets. I was afraid you might ask it in the exam tomorrow.
Now, Mulligan, anyone who can impress Mrs. Oberdorf the way you did will certainly have no trouble with a mere examination.
Well, it's nice of you to say that, but I didn't impress her with Montagues and Capulets.
Whatever it was, Mulligan, it did the trick.
Yeah. Well, Professor Beamish just goes to show you. You know, I'm all for education, but there are times when it's better to know something.
Mulligan's Travel, starring Sheldon Leonard, had music composed and conducted by Al Harris. The cast included Bea Benaderet as Eloise, Verna Felton as Mrs. Oberdorf, Sarah Selby as Miss Wimbley, Ed Max as Stitch, Arthur Q. Bryan as Fingers, Mr. Ruskin as Mandelbaum, and Eric Snowden as Professor Beamish. This is Ken Niles. Mulligan's Travel, starring Sheldon Leonard, is written by Jerome Epstein and produced and directed by Cal Cool.
Let's pull the curtains and have the...
You're listening to Same Time, Same Station, the best of old-time radio.